Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Bob Thibodeau. Pastor Bob conducts personal interviews with Christian influencers from around the globe, helping Christian authors, recording artists, CEOs, entrepreneurs, nonprofit leaders, and yes, pastors and ministry leaders to get the word out about what they are doing to impact the world with the gospel. Our podcast has been rated in the top 0.5% of all podcasts in the world by ListenNotes.com, so you know your message will be heard. Now, here is your host with today's interview, Pastor Bob Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone everywhere. Pastor Robert Thibodeau here. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. We're so blessed that you're joining us today. Our guest today is Lori Kesey, and she has written for daily newspapers and trade publications. Her freelance work has appeared in regional and trade magazines, specifically those specializing in space exploration. And those of you that have been following me know that I am a space junkie. Yes. Lori was a space junkie, worked for NASA in public outreach for 20 years. Praise God. And she calls herself an accidental entrepreneur and started the Accidental Blogger to help build an author platform where she shares stories of overcoming adversity. And she knows a thing or two, unfortunately, about that subject, that she faced her own tragedy when she lost her 33-year-old son. Lori considers herself among the lucky, recently retired. She enjoyed a 40-plus year career as a writer and now has time to pursue her childhood dream of writing fictional characters who make a difference. She's launching her first novel, Always Think of Me, in April of 2024, just about when this episode will go live. Help me welcome to the program, Lori Kesey. Lori, it is such a blessing to talk to you today.
Thank you so much for inviting me on. I so appreciate it.
Amen. Now, I read that you worked for nearly 20 years with NASA in public outreach. And like I said, I've been an avid space nut since about the age of 3.
One
of my earliest memories, my grandfather came in and woke me up and plopped me down in front of the television set and said, "Watch this. You'll remember it someday."
Oh, yes.
Scott Carpenter on his first suborbital flight in 1962.
Wow. You know what? When you were
followed since then.
Well, when you were saying that, you said, you know, your grandfather plopped you in front of the television set, woke you up. I was thinking, oh, he's talking about the moon landing. In 1969, the first moon landing. And, you know, that's one of those pivotal moments in your life. If you've experienced something like that, you never forget it. It's burned into your head. And I remember that. I don't remember what you remembered, but I do remember being in elementary school and they'd hang the TVs in the corner up on, little platform, and we would all assemble in one of the classes and watch, liftoffs and things like that. Things have changed so much since then.
Oh, yeah. I remember that to this day, though, because I remember asking him, why am I watching a pencil? Because that's what it looked like to me. It was a pencil.
Yes. With a fiery bottom.
Yeah, I couldn't figure out why I'm watching this thing.
Oh, my goodness.
But I do remember it. And in fact, I just returned from a trip to South Texas last week where I visited Stargate, where Elon Musk is launching his rockets.
Mm-hmm.
So, it was 50 years ago that I went to NASA for the first time.
Wow.
So, I have to be careful about we're talking about today, because we could let this thing take off on a flight all its own.
Well, and that's fine. I got to tell you, one of the most exciting things I had ever done was I watched the shuttle launch for the Hubble Space Telescope servicing mission. And I had never been that close and personal to a launch. Normally, the general public is sitting far, far away. And we were within 2 miles of the gantry. I'm telling you, I've never experienced anything like that in my life. You see this thing lifting off and then the sound comes to you and your whole body sways back and all the birds they go nuts because the sound is so loud. But it was really one of the coolest experiences of my lifetime.
Yeah. I was hoping to catch a flight when I was down at South Texas, and my son-in-law works down there, and he's in charge. He's the vice president of one of the construction companies building the build. Elon Musk has to build the city down there. There's no place for
Yeah.
people to live, so he's actually building a city down there, and he's in charge. His company's in charge
Yeah.
of building that stuff out. But he said, yeah, they don't have like a launch schedule. Like NASA is like December 12th at
Right.
8:45 a.m. will be the launch.
Right.
So they're like, are we ready? Okay, what's the next available window? Okay, we'll do it
That's
then.
cool. That's right. That's cool.
So because on the schedule it just said February, 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 so we went down there and hadn't in mid-February hadn't launched yet. Maybe we're gonna hit that window. They found that it was supposed to launch, but they found a dent in the booster rocket, so they were bringing it back to the assembly building to get it repaired the day I was there, which was kind of neat because you talk about how close you get. I was literally within about 25 feet of this booster thing just passing. Right, I mean they have, I was telling my son-in-law, NASA, you're like 5 miles away.
Oh
That's as
yeah.
close as you can get. I could have walked. They had security, wouldn't let me. But I mean, literally, it was, just you could take a stone and hit it. That's probably how a
Yeah.
dent got put in the thing. Amen. Amen. Well, anyway, I could talk to you about NASA and stuff all long, but for the sake of our listeners, I think we should keep going. And
Okay.
the first question I always start with is this: other than that brief information I just shared about you, can you tell us in your own words who is Lisa Kesey or Lori Kesey? I'm sorry.
Lori Kesey is a wife, a mom, a writer. I started out in journalism. So I was, again, daily newspapers, and then eventually moved into public outreach, public relations, that sort of thing. And I did, I spent, nearly 20 years working for the chief technologist at NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center out in Maryland. And that's where I'm from. I was born in DC and raised in Maryland, in one of the suburban counties, Montgomery County, Maryland. My husband and I were blessed in that we were able to leave. It's kind of crowded there and it's expensive, and we were able to move to East Tennessee, where we've lived here for 10 years.
Amen.
And what a blessing that's been. I really, really love living here. I love the people. I love the culture. And sometimes I feel, I wish I had been born here. Know that I love the accent. I love everything about it. And we found an awesome church, and we joined that 10 years ago. And I'm
Amen.
telling you, God, he worked in our lives. He's the one who directed us to move here.
Yeah,
And
amen.
that's, we found Christ because we moved here.
Amen. Yeah, amen. Yeah. I live in Baltimore myself right
Oh,
now.
do
And
you? Oh,
yeah,
you? Oh, wow.
and Middle River, just north of Baltimore. And but yeah, it's crowded.
Yes, it's crowded. And I do detect a little Baltimore accent.
Well, I'm not from here originally. That's where I kind of ended up.
Okay.
I was originally from Michigan, but joined the military straight out of high school, and we traveled all over, ended up down in Texas, and we lived there for 10 years. That was the longest we ever lived in one spot until we moved to Baltimore because my daughter had married a guy up here, and situation with the job I had, they closed the company, so we were going to start over. And so we're gonna start over. Might as well keep the family together. So we
There you
moved up
go.
here, and now they're down in Texas because of his
And
job,
you're up in
and I'm
Baltimore.
stuck in
Oh,
Baltimore.
it's funny how these things work.
Well, we've been here about 20 years now, so praise God. But yeah, I'm a person with no home. I go back to Michigan, they hear the Southern drawl. They say, "Oh, you're not from around here, are you?" Yeah. Raised right here. Go down to
Yeah.
Texas, they hear my, Canadian accent. Oh, you're not from
Yeah.
around here, are you?
Yeah, the man with no country.
Exactly. Well, let's start with what motivated you to begin the accidental blogger website and all that you do there. Was it a way to deal with your son's death?
No, it was a
No?
way for me to create a platform so that people could see my writing. When I started writing this novel back in 2019, I knew nothing about book publishing. I mean, I'm an avid reader. I've read thousands and thousands of books, and I've always wanted to write at least one novel. But most of my career was geared to journalistic style writing. And so I never really intended to be the accidental blogger. But again, I had to create this platform, and that's how it started. And the book is a uncommon love story. It's not a romance novel. It's a love story. And it addresses some hard topics, things that we're facing in our world. I mean, suicide, alcohol abuse, toxic relationships. And it tells the story from the perspective of a 33-year-old party boy who doesn't know his purpose in life. And he meets this woman of his dreams at an outdoor music festival. Over time, they forge a relationship, which is abruptly ended when she leaves to go with her fiance back, to go home. And he thinks he's never going to see her again. But he does see her again. He finds himself on an otherworldly mission. And during that mission, he has to overcome his own fears and doubts and stop her from doing the unthinkable. So it addresses a lot of, angst. What is my purpose? Why was I put here? And these are the issues I had to, that I contemplated after our son's death. Why did God take him? I didn't understand. And through prayer and contemplation, as well as these amazing dreams that my friends had, I was also worried about his soul. I was so afraid that he wasn't with Jesus. And that plagued me. I mean, it made my stomach sick. But I had a friend who had a dream. And she said, she's standing next to the river. And she says, "Jesus, why didn't you save him?" And he says to her, "Mary, but I did." And that was so comforting.
Amen.
And then a woman at church. I mean, I'm pretty bereft. My husband is just, we're just lost. And I remember she saw how sad I was, and she took me into another room, and she read to me Isaiah 57, and people need to read that. It comforted me in a way that no one could possibly do. No one stops to wonder why God takes those. Could it be that he's trying to protect people from the evil to come? Wow. We sit there and mourn, and maybe, we don't realize like it's God's will. It's not, yes, we're sad, but we should be rejoicing where these people are, where our loved ones are. So that really brought me comfort.
Yeah, I read that you came to the realization that he belonged to God his whole life and was just on loan to you until the
Exactly.
mission was complete. How did you come to that realization?
Because of my contemplation. And the thing is, the main character in the book, TC, a lot of that character's personality is my son's, but it's fiction. So the way that TC character responds to things isn't necessarily the way my son would have. And I'm not really sure if my son had all of these insecurities, but it sort of made sense to me. And so that's how this whole thing started. And also when I started writing this, that's when the suicide rate started clicking upwards. Remember that? I mean, teenagers, this huge spike. And that really concerned, that upset me because I'm thinking, okay, if we all have a purpose, would we necessarily kill ourselves if we understood that we had a job that only we could do? I kind of think they wouldn't. They would be waking up and saying, "What am I supposed to do?" And they would work through their adversity, their setbacks, and that sort of thing. So that played into it as well.
Amen. Amen. Well, does tragedy tend to challenge or change someone's belief in God?
Some people will blame God. I personally did not. Some people think, in fact, I know someone whose son just died, and initially his gut reaction was, why is my family cursed? But it's not you're cursed. And it's sometimes very difficult to understand why these things happen. But it could be that these things happen. God can certainly stop something from happening. He has that power. But maybe he has a greater purpose. We're promised that, you know, that he has plans for us to prosper us, you know, that type of thing. And maybe because of that tragedy, he wants us to draw closer to him and to rely on him for
Yeah,
that
amen.
greater purpose. And we wouldn't be able to do that greater purpose if we hadn't gone through the hardship. I know a lot of people who've come to that conclusion, people I've interviewed for the Accidental Blogger. Amazing stories. No, terrible loss, but yet they started looking outward and say, okay, what can I do to make this situation better? And it blessed their lives.
Yeah, amen. Amen. You also said that you measure time differently now. You reference pre and post tragedy. Do you find others using the same time measure after their experiences as well?
You know, I haven't. And that isn't to say they don't, but that's just how I do it. And you know, you're getting older and all these things happen. And really, it's become my Gregorian calendar, so to speak. Oh, well, that happened before his death. Oh, that happened after. And it's really kind of handy because sometimes my husband and I get into little spats over when something happened. I said, oh, no. Not that I'm always right, but it does help me.
Oh, you know, this is being recorded. He'll probably hear you say
He
that.
probably will. And then I'll hear about it later.
My wife will say, so, oh, yeah, you were right. I said, wait a minute. Wait, where's my phone? Can you say that again? Well, you know, people react differently, though, when they experience some sort of tragedy. Some are angry, others are sad. Some have regret. Are all of these just moving through the different stages of grief differently, or are they truly dealing with it in a different manner?
No, I think everyone goes through those things. And how you move through it is really, it's as personal as your fingerprint, your fingerprints. I mean, people do it differently. And sometimes there is great regret and why didn't I do that differently? And but the goal is you have to move through these stages because the goal is to find acceptance. So that you can truly move on. And here's another thing. I truly believe that we all have a purpose. And if we fail, if we allow these tragedies to sideline us or to deviate off course, we never fulfill our purpose. And therefore, someone else might not fulfill his or her purpose. We're so intricately linked. But it is, it's, you know, those five grieving steps. Yes, there, I truly, I moved through them. You know, I never got mad at God ever, but I had to understand better why he would have taken Ty, who was in only 33. His career had started to improve. He was a character. My son was truly a character. Oh my gosh. He was really funny. And but he's gone. And unfortunately, because of his death, gave me the impetus to write this book. Do I want him alive? Of course. And that's hard to take too, you know?
Amen. Amen. But through your book, you don't know how God's going to use that to affect someone else's life down the line.
Yes, isn't that the goal? That is the goal. This isn't about me. It's not about you. It's not about me. This story, I pray people find hope in this book and identify with some of the characters because we all face something, and that's our calling to help others.
Amen. On your blog, I've seen that you interviewed John Carter Cash about dealing with
Yes.
his addiction, and I guess you could say how it runs in the family. What was the one thing you took from that interview that still sticks in your mind today?
His honesty. He was forthright. He's not ashamed of what he went through, because he knows, he's in Nashville, and he knows that others face the same issues at times. And through his experience, he's able to talk about it, and which kind of allows others to open up and talk about their issues. I really appreciated his honesty, his transparency. He's a very talented man, unbelievably so. And
Amen.
also, it struck me too, his passion for the Lord, as well as his appreciation for his parents. They had their issues, but he
Sure.
walked away from that situation, I don't know, a deeper, more contemplative person. And it was wonderful to hear him sing his parents' praises, because he believes they were wonderful parents, and they
Yeah.
were.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. I have a sort of a personal connection. I've never met Johnny Cash or anything, but my dad had.
Wow.
They served time together.
Did they? Oh my gosh. That's funny.
Way back there,
Oh my goodness,
out in
that's
California.
great. That is great.
So, got a little personal connection
That wasn't something I expected. I'll tell you, that came out of the blue, but that's a good
Yeah.
one. That's a good one.
Yeah, I've been a Johnny Cash fan my whole life because of
Yeah, my
that.
dad, he would play it, and we'd say, "Turn off that hillbilly music." And no, he just crank it up louder. We're going on some road trip somewhere. Yeah, my dad used to say we were a family of horse thieves, but I don't know about that.
Amen. Amen.
Makes it colorful.
That's right. Well, in your book, Always Think of Me, why did you write this book and why publish it now?
I wrote this book because I believed God put it on my heart to do it. Why publish now? Because it's finished, finally.
How long
And
did it take?
oh my gosh, oh,
Yeah,
4.5 years.
I was gonna say the average I've been talking to people about is about
Oh,
5 years.
it took so long, and I had a lot to learn, and I'm thankful to all those people who helped me along the way. I had very good editors to help me craft this book, because, as I said, I always wanted to write a novel, and I would try to sit down and write one. But the words would come, but the story didn't. There was no, why are you writing this? What kind of trajectory will the protagonist take? Because he must grow or she must grow. There needs to be, and then the antagonist trying to stop that protagonist from fulfilling his purpose or his mission. Most of it's the character arc, and I had to learn a lot about that. I also had to learn a lot about marketing and that sort of thing. And it's a lot of work.
Yeah,
I could tell my
it
husband, I
is.
said, I think I'm working harder now than I did when I got paid to work.
Yep. Amen. Yeah.
Yeah,
My
and it's all
daughter
good.
asked me that all the time. She goes, "For a retired person, you sure are busy." She goes, "I don't know how I found time to work before."
Isn't that the truth? But it's good. We're doing something.
That's right. Amen.
Wait, it's important that you do something that you think will help others. I
Yeah.
truly believe that.
Yeah, amen, amen. And this book is supposed to be released very soon, right?
April 2nd,
April 2nd.
pre-order is available now. In fact, today was the it's opening of a Goodreads book giveaway. So
Amen.
that goes on until April 2nd, when the book officially releases. So I do hope people will check it out,
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
let me know. I answer all emails. I love emails. So if let me know
Amen.
what you think, if this
Amen.
touched you in some way, and let me know.
Amen. And this is a novel. So you gave us a little brief description. We could give it a little more synopsis, like, the storyline. I know they meet at this music festival and then they separate, and then he's on a mission to do what?
To stop her from doing the unthinkable. And I don't really want to go into that. I don't want to do spoilers.
That's
But
right.
when the book
Amen.
opens, something's kind of wrong or strange. It's okay, what's going on here? And the next three or four chapters, you know, he's on this mission to stop her from doing the unthinkable, but it doesn't make sense. And even for the character TC, it doesn't make sense to him either. And he's thinking, what happened? What did I conk my head on a rock? What's going on here? And over time, he figures it out.
Amen. Amen. Well, I have one more question for you that came out of the research I was doing to get ready for our interview time today. Can you share a little bit about an interview you did with a publicity-shy multimillionaire who shared his reasoning for his relentless pursuit of wealth? What were the reasons he shared with you in that interview?
Was that the guy when I was writing for the Delaware State News? And
I think
he,
it was.
Yes, that was another unbelievable interview. And he was controversial. People couldn't stand him because what he did, he took wetlands, filled it in so that he could build little building lots for trailers along the Delaware Bay and, you know, that type of thing. These are vacation places for people with modest means. Mm-hmm. And people were upset because, you know, these wetlands are important for ecological reasons. And he tells me that he was trying to prove to this woman of his dreams, his beloved wife, her father, that he was worthy of this man's daughter because this man didn't trust him and didn't like him. And he wanted to become a gazillionaire just to prove
Amen.
That he was somebody. Isn't that something?
Amen. Amen. There's always a woman. That's the reason.
There's always,
always
a woman.
Isn't
there? You poor men. I feel sorry for you.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. So, Lori, this has been so interesting. If someone wanted to reach out and get in touch with you to ask a question, maybe do an interview like this, how can they do that? How can someone get in touch with you?
They can email me at Lori, L-O-R-I, at LoriKesey.com. I'll spell Kesey, K-E-E-S-E-Y. They can follow me on social media, but to be honest, I prefer emails. And if they want to sign up to hear from me monthly, I put out a little thing called Something to Chew On. You just go over to my website and sign up. I
and
think
what's
that's the best. LoriKesey.com.
And I'll put
and there is, and under the fiction tab, there is a page about Always Think of Me. And if you want to get a sneak peek, there's a little button you can push and a little PDF downloads for you. And, you know.
And your book will be released on April 2nd, Always Think of Me. And once it's released, send me the link and I'll be able to put that on the show notes because it'll be released just about the same time.
Well, you know what? I can send that to you now.
Okay.
Because
great.
It's available on Amazon. I can send you Books A Million and Barnes and Noble. Okay.
Okay. Amen. Amen. I'll put links to all that in the show notes below. Praise
okay.
God. Folks, as you heard Lori Kesey share, tragedy can strike with no notice and at any time. You need to be ready. You don't have to go around like a worry ward, obsessed with the unknown approaching tragedy. But you should have a good grounding in your faith and in the Word of God. I've discovered in my life many times when something unexpected happens, and it has, my faith really is the immediate pillar that I grab onto. It is sometimes the only stable and strong support that I can lean on. Lori found that out as well as others that you'll read about on her blog. I urge you to click the links down below to get in touch with Lori Kesey. Check out her website. Read some of the fascinating things that are on her blog page. I mean, it's just amazing. And there's some great contact there from people that she's interviewed, and it will inspire you and give you plenty of stuff to think about. Amen. And I also will update the information for her book because it's being released just about the time this episode will be released. So just click the links down the show notes, and you can order her book right there. Praise God. Lori, thank you again for taking the time to come on the program today. I do appreciate you sharing all about your life, your blog, The Accidental Blogger, and your upcoming book, Always Think of Me.
Thank you so much. I enjoyed our chat.
Amen. Amen. Appreciate that. Folks, that's all the time we have for today. For Lori Keyes and myself, Pastor Bob reminded you to be blessed in all that you do.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. Please subscribe to our podcast so you can be notified when another episode is published. With over 800 interviews and 1,000 published episodes, Pastor Bob is known as a podcasting expert for helping others to create their own podcast to share their messages with the world. Please visit our website at www.podcastersforchrist.com. That web address again is www.podcastersforchrist.com for more information. Until next time, be blessed in all that you do.